Just here with my friends till the end, till the end, till the end.
I kinda like how things are happening here. I won't deny that we could just disappear. But tonight, I'm just here with my friends till the end, till the end, till the end. Can we talk in the morning? Tonight feels like we're forcing. Call me up in the daylight. Can we see if it feels right?
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, give us a call, 204-269-8636. That's 204-269-UMFM.
How's it going over there, Beans?
You bet it's going.
Well, how's it going? Not, I know it's going.
It's going. No, it's good.
Special guest in the studio with us tonight as we fade out the Darcys here. As we welcome the newest voice to your hockey broadcast, folks. I want to bring in our new play-by-play person for Bison Women's Hockey on UMFM. She spent 5 years with the program before graduating from the Asper School of Business. She was named as a 2013-2014 Canada West Women's Hockey first All-Star team. First All-Star. Forget that spin out right. After posting 14 goals and 15 helpers in 28 games in her senior year. Sounds about right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome Kylie Palmer to the show, as she will be your new play-by-play person this year. How are you, Kylie?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
Good, good. That's always good. We're glad to have you along. You ready for hockey this year? You ready for calling games this year?
I am. I can't wait. I've been out of the program for a few years now, I'm excited to be back in it somehow and more involved.
Good, good. Yeah. That's always important.
She's got big shoes to fill, eh?
Well, I mean, it's only because TJ had big feet. Yeah, that's all. So. But yeah, no, following up a couple of pretty good years for our broadcast anyway, and obviously the big program victory last year. But you get the honor of calling Banner Raising Night tonight on October 5th. Are you excited to get in and see a couple of new decorations on the wall?
I'm very excited. That's huge for the program. That's pretty crazy. It happened all last year, how well they did. They're a world-class program. So, yeah, I'm excited to kind of follow that up and see what happens this year.
Hopefully we have an opportunity to make it a back-to-back, a little repeat action for the national championship. But got to get through a tough division, obviously, in terms of Canada West. Anything you're looking forward to, other than, obviously, the on-ice performance, anything you're looking forward to in terms of games this year or teams you want to see?
I'm kind of looking forward to how the team will react with a new head coach.
Yeah, that'll be big.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they'll still be doing the same kind of systems and everything, but we'll get to see what Sean brings to the table, and I think it will be good for the team.
Sean does like the offense, I find, a lot more. John was very, very much a defensive coach, whereas Sean seems to like to really push the pace a little bit. So
yeah.
I'm expecting maybe a little bit more offense of the Bisons, but, yeah, I mean, with Sean being a John Rempel disciple, I'm sure the defensive side of the puck won't get forgotten about at all. But it looks like it's going to be a good season, and we're going to get to meet some of the kids. If you're listening, September 13th, we'll have the kids in here in terms of meeting the rookies, so we'll get that going. But we're excited to have you, Kylie, in terms of doing the games this year, and I'm looking forward to working with you all season. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to working with you guys, and I'm excited to see how the season goes.
We should be good. Should have a good time. But we'll make sure that everybody gets your information and they can follow you on social media and get all the information they need out of you if you're going to be tweeting during games or anything like that. But it's exciting to get, I mean, a former Bison number one back in the fold, and then secondly, certainly somebody who knows the program as well as you do. So
right, yeah, awesome. I'll probably be a bit rusty with all my current
it happens
Canada West stats, but no, I'm excited to relearn it all and get back into the swing of things.
We'll get you up to speed, though. It'll be good. So if you're listening, our first official broadcast will be, I believe, on September 24th. There's a game for the Bison Invitational Tournament on the 24th that will feature the Bisons against the Regina Cougars. We'll have that game, I believe, live on the second stream. As we get that going, our first live broadcast will be October 5th. That'll be live across 101.5 UMFM, as well as the second stream, as we do the banner raising that night, and we're going to have a good time with that. So if you're interested, make sure you tune in for that. But again, I can't say it enough. Happy to have you along and looking forward to the season already, Kylie.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Do you want to stick around? You can stick around for as long as you want. I know you got to get out of here, but if you want to stick around and talk hockey, you're more than welcome to.
What time is it?
You're at 25-6 right now.
I probably better get going.
All right.
Head out.
You got a pile of stuff to do. So
yeah.
If you ever want to drop by, door's always open, though. By all means, come on back, and we'll be happy to have you on again for sure.
For sure.
All right.
Thanks for having me,
guys. No problem. Thanks, Kylie. So Kylie Palmer is going to be the new voice, folks. If you're tuning in, just missed the beginning there. Kylie Palmer will be the new voice of Bison Women's Hockey. Happy to have her along. We'll make sure that we promote her and her exploits. She was a phenomenal Bison's player during her time with the program. So we'll talk a little bit about her as we get going through the weeks here in terms of getting stuff going. Beans, are you ready to go through everything there is to know about hockey?
I heard it's going to be busy. I heard your comments on social media.
You did.
There's a lot to go over.
There is a lot to go over. Where do you want to start? What league do you want to start with? How much do you want to get into? What's on your mind in terms of this beginning?
I heard something about Belfast happening in there.
There was a little bit of Belfasting going on.
Let's start because the Bisons were playing there.
The Bisons did play, yeah.
I'm going to switch mics here just so that I can see you a little better.
I'm going to be doing some talking anyway, so you got some time to do
that.
Because
I like making eye contact. It's weird, but I do.
There's no writing implements in here that work. Trying to find a writing implement that works. I'm going to have to. Pull out the old finger and slice up to the first knuckle off to be able to write here. All right, here we go. So let's start with the Bisons because there's a lot of Bison news in terms of what's going on. As we said, we got Kylie Palmer on there in terms of the new play-by-play person. Happy to have her along for Bison Women's Hockey. There's going to be a new broadcast team for the men's hockey. They're just finalizing some stuff with that. We will bring you updates on that as well in terms of what's going on.
The women, the women's coach, was that assistant coach from last year?
Sean Fisher was the assistant coach from last year. He was interim. He's going to be the interim coach while John is off doing professional development. So
he let John implement the defensive system?
John's defense.
Now they know it?
Yeah.
He's going to bring the offense.
If defense wins championships, Sean's doing the right thing.
We don't want to see any more of those four overtime games.
Oh, no. No, those are the greatest nights in our lives right there. Anything goes when you're talking five overtimes.
Greatest nights of your life, but you lost 5 years on your
life. You may have shaved off a few years with the heart attacks you had, but it was good.
It was worth it.
All right, here we go. Let's get into Bison men's hockey has been traveling through Europe. As we know, they lost in their first game against whoever it was. Manchester Storm. There we go.
Sure.
They've traveled on Thursday. We were talking about it on Thursday last week. Traveled on Thursday to meet the Fife Flyers, also of the English Ice Hockey League. They came away with a victory. 2-1, the Bisons upset the Flyers. Goaltender Shane Owen from the Flyers made 35 saves while Paul Crowder added his first goal in a Fife shirt. But it was not enough as the Flyers went down 2-1 to the visiting University of Manitoba Bisons at Fife Ice Arena on Thursday night. Crowder put the Flyers ahead after 7.5 minutes, converting a power play opportunity after Nick Zajac had been sent to the box for tripping. Bad Zajac. The Bisons able to fight back before the end of the period. End of the first period, though. Jeremy Leipzig, who now has the second goal in Europe, provided the finish, assisted by Captain Brett Stoven and Liam Bilton.
He might have to stay in Europe.
I was going to say, man, maybe Bisons should be a European team now. Yeah. At the 15-minute mark to leave the game square at 1-1. At the first intermission, Manitoba had a much better second period. Owen kept the Canadian side off the scoreboard, though, as he made 21 saves in the period. Bisons were all over them.
Busy period.
Dayson Sidora and Byron Spriggs, they went half the period. So Sidora started the game, Spriggs finished it. They had just a paltry 6 saves in that period. So Fife outshot 21-6 in the second period, but no other goals were scored. 1-1 into the third period, and both sides had chances, but it wasn't until the final minute of the game when Carter Dirksen found the back of the net with just 16 seconds to play.
That's all you need.
Carter Dirksen giving the Manitoba Bisons a 2-1 lead. Flyers did pull goaltender Shane Owen in favor of the extra attacker, but could not find the equalizer with just 16 to play. Bisons skated to the 2-1 victory.
Good job, boys.
So there we go. So they're 1-1 now.
1-1 in Europe.
1-1 in Europe. And then they travel to Belfast, who I'm going to say have a fairly strong team.
Yeah.
They always do. They always seem to be one of the favorites over in the English Ice Hockey League. Didn't go well on Saturday night.
The Bisons, I'm guessing.
Did not go well for the Bisons. Tyler Beskor... Let me see if I can get his name now. Beskorowani. Tyler Beskorowani.
Sure.
Made 29 saves, six different Giants found the back of the net as Belfast hammered the Bison 6-1 on Saturday night. Patrick Dwyer, you might remember him. He was an AHL guy. He gave Belfast the lead just over 7 minutes in before Curtis Leonard added a second goal midway through the period. Manitoba did get one back as they beat Mackenzie Dwyer, goaltender. Oh, sorry, Mackenzie Dwyer is our player, sorry. Mackenzie Dwyer found the back of the net past Beskorowani. Giants restored the two-goal cushion before the end of the period. Paul Swindlehurst beat Byron Spriggs 36 seconds before the end of the intermission. David Rutherford added a goal. Darcy Murphy added a fifth goal. And Lewis Hook added a goal with 8 minutes to play to make it a 6-1 game for Belfast. So not so good there.
No.
But the Bison said, you know what? We got another game against these guys. It's good. Best of two. Let's see if we can go and score a bunch of goals. So they came out on Sunday, and it was a far better game.
There you go.
Belfast, ironically, Belfast did win, but you're gonna be impressed with what went on here. 4 minutes in, Liam Bilton had scored a power play goal to put the Bisons up 1-0. David Rutherford then came back 3 minutes later to score a goal and make it 1-1 at the intermission. Okay?
1-1.
So 1-1.
After one.
Manitoba regained the lead early in the second period when Captain Brett Stoven scored on the power play. So two for two on the power play.
Really?
Giants again quick to respond as former Manitoba Moose Francis Beauvillier found the back of the net 35 seconds after Stoven did. Make it 2-2. Okay? British forward Lewis Hook scored his second of the weekend as he chipped in a power play goal. Jonathan Furlan and Jim Vandermeer, another former NHLer, also found the back of the net as Belfast scored three times in 78 seconds. Bisons found themselves in a bit of a hole.
Yeah.
Bisons did, though, come out in the third with a third power play goal, though, before the second period ended. Cameron Nault found the back of the net, so the power play working for the Bisons this season.
That's a good early start for the power play.
And made it, 5-3 at that point.
Yeah.
Third period, we'd see a little bit more physicality. Neither team could really find anything, but Nault would score his second of the game with 4 minutes to play, making it 5-4. Giants, though, did hang on to win for a 5-4 victory. And apparently a lot of people enjoyed that game. Byron Spriggs gave out a puck to a young fan there and who was on social media.
Nice.
Everybody turned out, all the fans that turned out, standing ovation at the end of that Sunday game. So it looks like a lot of people impressed with the way the Bisons came out and played.
There you go.
Should be good maybe to see how well this team can play for all season long. We might be talking about maybe a Bisons team that makes a deep playoff. Maybe two Bison teams. Deep playoff runs this year. Who knows?
We're going to have to make the schedules work for playoff time. Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's it sounds like they need to work on a little bit of that answering, the opponent answering
sure.
Goals.
Yeah.
But power play seems to be working well. I mean, it's good experience, right? It's good experience
for sure.
Playing a little bit of a higher level league and a pro league. So.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything negative about the goaltending, but it looks like, you know, you give up a grand total of, what, 13 goals in three games. You might want to shut down the defense a little bit more. But, I mean, they come back. They know what they got to work on. And the boys are ready to go. But if the offense is clicking already, that's half the game right there, right?
How many other schools in Canada go overseas and do stuff like this?
Not many. There has been a couple that have done it before, but it looks like Manitoba's been doing it. I mean, they did it last year and then they did it again this
Starting
year. They got a pretty good, it sounds like they got a pretty good sort of handshake agreement with some of those EIHL teams. So hopefully we'll get to see it maybe happen year after year after year then in that case. So
nice.
Yeah.
I guess that's their preseason as well.
No, they're going to come back and they play a few more games. In terms of what's going on, because it's only August, right? So they get set up, they play a few games through September, and then they're into the regular season. October 5th, they start in Calgary against the Dinos. So.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's that. Let's go through some of the other stuff here. I got some other information here for... Oh, yeah. There we go. I'm making sure I got it. If you didn't catch the news, there have been 7 new recruits signed by the Bison women's hockey team for the 2019-2020 season already.
So next year.
For next year. So we're going to go over a few of them right now. Just give you a heads up. If you're going to go out and catch these players, we'll tell you where you can see them. Let's start with the beginning in terms of just names. Kate Gregoire, Hallie Edwards, Camille Enns, Polina Goncharova.
She sounds like she's Russian.
We're going to have another foreigner on the team, which is going to be good. Samantha Sitcherick. Sitcherick. Molly Kunis and Jamie Rickliffs. Okay, so here we go. Kate Gregoire, comes from St. Mary's Academy Flames, the prep team. She won a gold medal at the 2018 Female World Sports Club Challenge, which we broadcast last year. She had 49 points in 47 games. Diminutive, she's only 5'4". But she is a member of Team Manitoba's under 18 team. Also, one hell of a golfer, from what I'm told.
That's important.
It's probably going to cut into a little bit of the golfing if we play into late March again, like we normally do here at the university. But we'll see what happens. Hallie Edwards, she's from Starbuck originally. She plays for the Central Plains Capitals in the Manitoba Major Female Major Hockey League. Manitoba Female Midget Hockey League. There we go. She's a 5'8 forward. She led her team with 24 points, 9 goals, and 15 assists in 43 games in 2016-2017. She then came back with another 45-point season, 20 goals and 25 assists last year in 53 games. So it sounds like she's got a little bit of offense built into her.
Team leader there.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Sean Fisher impressed that she can play both the wing or the center position. Right. So get a little bit of versatility, which is nice.
Yep.
Camille Enns, to bring her information up here. She's from Linden, Manitoba.
Linden,
Manitoba. She's a defenseman for the Eastman Selects. Selects, as you may, if you don't recall, but were the Manitoba Female Midget Hockey League champions in 2017-2018. Enns had the 5'5" Enns had a fantastic season, 7 goals, 14 assists from the blue line. She was the captain, was named most sportsmanlike player in the league in 2017-2018. In 2016-2017, she led the league in goals by a defenseman, and she also plays for the under-18 Team Manitoba team.
Sounds like they got some talent there.
A little bit of talent coming through with Enns there. Here's the one that you were trying to figure out.
I was curious about.
Polina Goncharova
is
from Moscow, Russia, and she currently plays at the Hockey Training Institute Stars program in Toronto.
Okay.
She's a 5'4" forward who scored 4 goals and 4 assists in 12 games with the Stars in the Eastern Women's Hockey League. Before playing in Toronto, Goncharova was a member of the Russian national under-18 team in 2015-2016, and she's played on both boys and girls teams in Moscow. So some pretty good setup. She's 18 coming in, so she's I believe she's the oldest recruit. Yeah, she's the oldest recruit coming in next season, but got a little bit of experience playing both internationally with the under-18 team and then a little bit of experience playing boys and girls hockey. So should be interesting to see how Goncharova does here. If she ends up being, again, I'm not going to compare her to Venla. That's a little bit of a stretch just because Venla was an Olympian.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Goncharova might be maybe in line for a future Russian Olympic spot or even a Russian World Championship spot.
So. Yeah, it's also good that she is playing in Canada as well as she's getting experience there. So they're not just getting someone fresh from Moscow that hasn't played the Canadian game very much. So be nice to see what she can bring.
They just found some girl on the street.
Yeah,
all good. Samantha Sichkarik, born and raised in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Ooh.
5'9" left-handed center is a standout for the Regina Rebels, though, in the Saskatchewan Female Midget AAA Hockey League. She had 15 points in 28 games in the 2017-2018 season. In 59 total games, she has 19 goals and 12 assists for 31 points. She has been on the honor roll for the last 3 seasons at school, so smart kid coming out of there as well. Sean Fisher, though, noted that she plays a complete 200-foot game, very good in terms of the offense, can distribute the puck, put it in the back of the net, but also has the ability to check and defend. So a lot like, if you ask me, a lot like what Lauren Keane does for this team right now in terms of playing that full 200-foot game as a centerman or center player.
Center person.
Person, yes. Molly Kunis, I watched her play last year at the World Sports School Championship. She's 5'11", big kid too.
Yeah.
Plays like a big kid too. Born and raised in Thunder Bay, Ontario, where she plays for the Thunder Bay Queens in the Sport Top Midget AA Hockey program there. She's been the team's leading scorer the last 2 seasons. She had 20 goals and 23 assists and followed that up with 31 goals and 27 assists last season. She was a member of the under-16 Ontario Provincial team and also an honor roll student. But she is a monster power forward. She was every time she touched the puck last year at the World Sports Goal Challenge, she was a threat. So she legitimately, if you want a kid who will put her head down, put her shoulder out, she's that kid. She is going to be, be a serious threat coming out of Thunder Bay there.
You need that force.
And then joining her is her teammate, Rickleffs, Jamie Rickleffs. I didn't have her first name on here for some reason. Jamie Rickleffs, also a member of the Thunder Bay Queens. She's a 5'5" left-handed forward. Played 2 years at Shaftesbury Prep here in Winnipeg. Now a member of the Thunder Bay Queens. Also a very good player in terms of just being able to pick up a puck and go with it. Great skater. Plays with an edge, and she absolutely doesn't have a problem going into the corner and being a little feisty. So Rickless is another going to be, it looks like, another great player as well in terms of what's going on. But I'm excited. I think that's going to be, you know, seven good players for the Bisons right there.
Yeah.
In terms of picking up some really good talent there. So congratulations to the Bison program. They found some good kids to come in and really reinforce the team next year.
Sounds like it.
All right, we got through that. Trying to see what else I got. Oh, I forgot. Speaking of Bisons.
Lots of Bison talk today.
Speaking of Bisons, we had a Bison go pro on the weekend.
What?
What happened there? How did that happen? If you hadn't heard, folks, I know we talked about it a little bit. If you hadn't heard, Venla Hovi decided to declare for the CWHL draft, which, again, is a big thing because that would make her the first Bison to do that. Not only is she the first Bison to do that, she got drafted as well. People are going to go, what? What's going on? Now, you have to understand, she probably would go higher if there weren't some of these pre-picks that they did, but we're going to go through a few of these players right now in terms of some of the key players that we saw. So Venla was selected 32nd overall by the Calgary Inferno. So she'll go and play in Calgary. Joining her at the 37th selection will be former Saskatchewan Husky Caitlin Willoughby, the leading scorer in that program's history.
That's two top players in CIS hockey.
Joining them at pick number 40. No, sorry, that's a lie. That's somebody else. Sorry, 57. Former Calgary Dino Cheyenne Newman. So they're going to have a pile of Canada West players playing for the Calgary Inferno this year. Kelly Murray, who was a UBC Thunderbird, is already out there. They've got a couple other players in terms of getting everything. Lindsay Post, excuse me, from Alberta is one of their netminders.
Well, it makes sense that they're the only Western Canadian team, so they probably see a lot of these girls.
It's surprising to see that some of these women though don't go east, and when you see how good they've been in their
but they don't
careers.
See, maybe they don't get scouted out east out here and
joining them on the Inferno will be goaltender and American Olympian Alex Rigsby. So another good pickup there for the Inferno. Also joining them, former North Dakota star and Nipawin, Manitoba native Hallie Krzaniak.
There you go.
So a fantastic draft by the Inferno. If you're going to ask me,
great players.
Rebecca Leslie, who was an outstanding player at Boston College, one of those two, Boston University. Sorry.
Yep.
She's going to go to the Inferno. Annie Belanger, who was an outstanding goaltender down in the States in the NCAA, she's going to go to the Inferno. Like, they've got a ton of great players going to the Inferno. Tori Hickey, who's Zoe Hickey's sister, is going to go there. Like, they loaded up in this draft.
Well, it's scouted well.
I'm going to say right now might be one of the better drafts that I've seen any team have.
How do you put that team on the ice? Like, there's a lot of girls there.
Well, there's going to be some other good teams, though. Yeah. And I'm going to start with this. So, of note, here are some of the other players that were selected in this draft, and you're going to go, hey, I know her. One of the big names that came off the board, a little bit down the list, a little bit further down the list maybe than anybody thought, Finnish goaltending sensation Miri Räisänen was selected by the Markham Thunder at pick number 41.
Mm-hmm.
And at number 43, former Buffalo goaltender Kelsey Newman will now join the Canadien de Montréal. So a couple of good players there. And the reason I bring up Kelsey Newman, she's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
There you go.
She's coming on to talk about being drafted, going to selection camp, all that kind of stuff. We're going to get her to call us from Montreal during selection camp.
Ooh. She has to speak French, though.
She does not. She's going to have to work
she
on that. She was joking. She
needs this
to,
show, she's got to speak
She
French.
Was joking. She needs to brush up on that.
Yeah.
But September 20th, mark your calendar, folks. That's when we're going to have Kelsey Newman come on. And Kelsey's going to tell us all about everything.
Nice.
There's a whole bunch of stuff we got to talk about with her. But it's going to be awesome. Other names that went elsewhere. Sarah Nurse, Olympian Sarah Nurse, went to the Toronto Fury, second overall. Victoria Bach, one of the leading scorers in NCAA last year, went to Markham third. Shea Tiley, who was an outstanding goaltender in the NCAA, she went to the Toronto Fury's sixth overall. Of note, any others that I really want to bring to...
Who went number one?
Number one was Lauren Williams. She went to the Worcester Blades.
Worcester.
Funny that we bring up the Worcester Blades because next week, Megan Myers from the Wooster Blades is going to come on and talk all about the Wooster Blades. She's a defender for the Wooster Blades. We're going to get her on as well. So sounds like we're going to have a busy couple of weeks here kind of through September, but should be good in terms of getting everything going. Marie-Joëlle Allard, who you might have heard both TJ and I talk about a lot last year from the Concordia Stingers, because we played against them in the Nationals. Mm-hmm. She went 33rd overall to the Canadiens de Montréal.
That's confusing, isn't it?
I was going to say Montreal Canadiens, but I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right. That's the wrong name, you idiot. Other than that, I'm just taking a quick look down here. Not a lot of other. Malika Alda Berganova. Holy thing, spit that. Yep. Alda Berganova.
Sure.
She's from Kazakhstan. She went 51st overall, the Markham Thunder. I thought I'd point that out. That's
some
an important
talent there.
Kazakhstan. There you go.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she's already signed in Russia, Tatiana Rafter, who's from Winnipeg, played with all over the place in the American League last couple of years. She was selected 61st overall by the Calgary Inferno. She won't play there, though, because she's already signed to get over in Russia. Playing with St. Petersburg, I believe, over there in the new St. Petersburg team. But those are the highlights of the CWHL draft, anyway, in terms of what's going on. But congratulations go out to Venla Hovi, former Bison, getting selected to play with the Calgary Inferno at 32nd overall. So we'll keep an eye on Calgary's progress next year with Venla. But, I mean, you look at Ia Gavrilova, and as a center player, she's from Russia. You look at Venla Hovi from Finland. You look at Caitlin Willoughby from Saskatchewan. Like, you could legitimately have Canada West line all over the Kelly Murray playing defense. Like, there's a whole bunch of options there for players getting in there. So it'll be fun to see how Calgary does next year, because there's going to be a lot of good players that we recognize and we certainly had the privilege of calling in terms of their college career as well. So,
and hopefully more Bisons in the future.
You never know. You never know. I mean, I know Alana Sharman out in Calgary earlier this year for the development camp, earlier this summer. Maybe she'll go out to Calgary and play out there. Who knows? It could be an opportunity for somebody to move east with Sammy Joe Small running Toronto.
Yeah.
Chelsea Purcell and Markham has been trying to get a couple of players from what we know, so from Canada West. So
Getting the names out there.
That's the key. All right. I think that's all the Bison stuff we got, and we pretty much killed off the first half hour here.
That's pretty good.
So there's your local news anyway, what's going on. Commercial? Should we run the stupid
legal ID?
Well, not stupid. I mean, we have to do it, but
some of them are good.
Some of them are good, but other ones are. I don't know what's going on. Who's recording?
I don't
want to
call them stupid because we've talked about us getting cut from this.
I do want to bring up one more. I missed this one in terms of the notes that I have here. Marie Nystrom announced today, Murray Nystrom will take over in Lethbridge as the head coach for the men's hockey team.
Okay.
Murray Nystrom, if you're out east anyway, you may know who Murray Nystrom is. He spent 18 years as the head coach of the OUA's Brock Badgers. 14 of those 18 years they made the playoffs, whereas before he got there, they had only made the playoffs in 7 of 26 years. So he did a ton of work in getting Brock to an actual setup. He'll be the 10th head coach in team history for Lethbridge. Prior to him getting into the collegiate programs, he was an assistant coach with the OHL's London Knights and the Sudbury Wolves. He did spend 1 year as an interim head coach with the London Knights as well. So Murray Nystrom coming in, he has a ton of experience, and he should really help that Lethbridge program in terms of getting to improve a program.
So
not only that, but I mean, certainly, like I said, with his success at Brock, knows how to make a program into a winner and keep it as a winner as well, which is big. So that's a big setup there for him. So with that, we're going to break into the legal ID. We'll be back in 31 seconds here, folks, here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM. Back with tons more. We got NHL, KHL, AHL news, whole bunch of other stuff to go through on the back half of the show. Right back, everybody.
Come here, everyone. Come. When you drop the coins in the box and it makes a clinking sound, then the souls will arise from the fiery purgatory.
Nowadays, people tend to look over the real art of DJing.
You are tuned in to CJUM-FM. Here we are, 101.5.
That wasn't so bad.
That was
all right.
A little mishmash of stuff.
Okay, speaking of mishmash of stuff, we got a bunch of other stuff to go through here. Let's do. I only got one KHL thing, so I'm going to start with that. Because the KHL decided they want to change their point system this year.
Sure, why not?
So the KHL will now become more like the NHL, and that regulation wins move from 3 points for a regulation win to 2 points. And the reason for this, according to them, is that they want to make the league more competitive right through to the end of the season.
Okay. We've always talked about how the NHL should change.
Exactly. That's what I was waiting for.
Now the KHL's going backwards.
See, the idea, though, I think, is that they look at the NHL and they go, well, there's lots of there's a lot of teams still in it towards the end of the season. Yeah. But that's because there's parity in the NHL. It's not, there aren't teams that just can go out and spend like it's no tomorrow, like St. Yeah. Petersburg or CSKA Moscow or anything like that.
There's such a difference between the top teams in the
right,
league and the bottom.
I think they're missing the big picture here. That's the problem. So KHL will go from 3 points for a win to 2 points for a win.
Is there a cap in the K?
Are you kidding?
I didn't think so. So that's what that doesn't make sense now because you got the teams like St. Petersburg and CSKA who are spending.
Who can spend until their heart's content. Yeah. So other European news, I have no DEL updates other than one that may kind of relates to the
Matt
AHL. Stajan? No, kind of relates to the AHL.
Although
those two relate to those two. So I'll talk about that in a second, but let's talk about the one big move this week. Cause one guy made it fairly clear that his career in the NHL was over. Toby Enstrom decided that he was going to sign with his hometown team of Modo in the Swedish Elite League. Made it official as of Friday last week when he signed the contract with sports director Michael Sundlov. 33-year-old is officially going to be with Modo for at least the next season after spending 11 seasons in the NHL, 4 with Atlanta, 7 with Winnipeg. I'm torn on this. I don't know. People, I know what social media says, and I know that people have this distinct idea that he was an elite defender. And I know, again, I can see what you're doing over there, and I'm not going to mention that yet. But in 7 seasons in a Jets uniform, Enstrom scored 28 goals and 137 points. Just once, did he surpass his Atlanta low total of 32 points while wearing Winnipeg colors. Never once got back to prominence like he was when he was down in Georgia. But the advanced stats crowd are going to point to everything he did away from the puck and say that's why he's so good. Now, and again, we had an advanced stats guy here for a while, and he would probably say a bunch of stuff about how he was good without the puck and he was a defensive, you know, shutdown guy and all that kind of stuff. But to me, the decreasing number of games he was playing due to injury combined with his plummeting scoring totals made it hard to justify re-signing this guy for anything more than maybe $1 million a year.
Yeah, and the talent coming up behind him for less money and you know, you got to get those guys in the lineup. Toby Enstrom was just not hacking it anymore. He wasn't the Toby Enstrom he was a few years ago. I mean, I've never been a huge Toby Enstrom fan. I found he was a liability in the corners. I found anything along the boards, he was a liability. Guys would beat him out of the corners 9 times out of 10. He was good with his stick because it was so long. I mean, guys one-on-one, he was good in those situations. But, I mean, an elite defender, now you're just saying nice things because he left. I mean, he was a decent defenseman that he got higher praise than what he probably deserved just because he was playing top pairing with the Jets.
Again, I'm not going to say that he wasn't important to some player's success. I mean, Dustin Byfuglien may not have been able to do what he did if he had a weaker defender beside him.
Yep.
In saying that, though, again, he was injured more often than he wasn't in the last few years. Yep. He in 11 total playoff games with Winnipeg, he scored one. He put up one assist.
Yep.
I mean, I can't say he was bad, but I can't say that he was the best that the Jets had either. Yep. And that if you're going to be a middling defenseman earning $5.25 million,
that's money well spent somewhere else.
So Enstrom becomes one of 4 Swedish players to return home in a non-lockout season, joining Kenny Johnsson, Marcus Ragnarsson, and Dick Tarnström It's players who left the NHL in a non-lockout year to go and join the Swedish Elite League. He does have a Swedish Elite League championship that he won with Modo in 2006-2007, the year before he came to Atlanta. So perhaps he's going to go back and maybe bookend his career if he can get Modo back. The only problem, though, Modo was 10th out of 14 Swedish Elite League teams last year, so they need a little bit of help.
Yeah. And, I mean, you got to think that Toby was, you know, trying to find a team in the NHL. Do you think that was happening?
There were offers, apparently, but he
wasn't interested.
It doesn't sound like they were either lucrative enough or they were of the caliber that he was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What would you give Toby? If the Jets were to sign Toby Enstrom, what would you have to give him?
Joe Morrow's contract.
So $1 million. Yeah.
If you're only going to play 40 games and you're only going to put up 13 points, there's no way you're getting 5.25. There's no way you're getting close to 5.25 for me.
Like, I would say you'd probably get around 2. But
especially with the contracts that are coming up that need to be replaced, Wheeler, Laine, those players that need the money, that actually put up the points and help you win. Yeah. Not saying that Enstrom didn't help them win, but they put up the points that basically put the Jets up where they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Toby did his time and,
you know what?
Farewell.
I mean, he went to the All-Star game as a young star in Atlanta. I mean, he was the representative when the All-Star game was in Atlanta.
Not many people in Atlanta, but
no, but I mean, he went to the All-Star game as the young star for Atlanta. He was a good Jet. Again, you can't say the stuff that he did off the ice was just as good as the stuff he did on the ice. I mean, he helped the Jets in terms of waiving his no trade clause with the whole Vegas thing and getting that going. But at the end of the day,
there's better players out there.
There are younger, cheaper, potentially better players than Toby Enstrom at 33 right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That's.
I will say this.
That's the business.
I will say this. The business is cruel, but at the end of the day, Toby Enstrom is now a member of Modo. So, we'll keep an eye on. We'll keep an eye on how Toby does over in Modo. I don't expect him to, you know, win the scoring title next year or anything, but
I don't think you'll see Toby come. At 33, I don't think you see him come back to the NHL.
Well, I mean, he's at home, right? I mean, his wife was over there. His wife, who had cancer, was over there. And, I mean, that was one of the big things, is that he wanted to spend more time with his wife. So he gets a chance to stay and play at home now, which is, I mean, huge for him. So, I mean, that's always a nice thing. He's got kids and everything and whatever else is going on. But hey, he made his decision, and that's that. So congratulations to Toby on finding a team for this year, and we'll see what happens after that. So. Yep.
Just another league we have to pay attention to.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it, but we won't. I don't know if we're going to update it every week. Speaking of the German Elite League, one player heading there, as you said, Matt Stajan, he's decided to leave Calgary to join EHC Red Bull München.
Mm-hmm.
München. In Munich, in the German Elite League. He was a free agent that could have taken a PTO. Apparently, Calgary was going to offer him a pro tryout contract to come back, but he decided on taking the sure thing in Munich. So him and his wife will head over there. Him and his wife and his kids, anyway, will head over there. Said today, had no regrets. Always, him and his wife had always talked about maybe going to do the European experience, and the fact that he can go play hockey, have his wife live there, and sort of get into it.
Germany's a great place to do it. As we've heard from the Reeds, they seem to love it.
And Munich, I mean, don't get me wrong, Munich is going to be having another dynamite team. They got a pile of great players there. So.
That's like one of those CSKA where they got
load up.
Everyone goes there.
So Matt Stajan heading over there. You won't see him on North American ice this year. One player you won't see.
Who is Brian McGrattan playing for? Is he in the DEL, isn't he?
No, McGrattan is retired now. He used to play.
Okay.
He used to play over
video.
in the EIHL in the English league, and then he played in a couple other leagues. But he's
must have been an old video I saw then.
Pretty sure Gratz is retired. I'll look it up right now.
I just saw a video the other day of him scoring a goal, and I was like, "See, he's playing." But I didn't realize it was an old goal. But
I'm almost certain he's done. Yeah, last he played was 2016-2017 with the Nottingham Panthers in the EIHL.
So it might have been.
Yeah, it could have been that you saw.
Yeah.
He did, ironically, he did score 12 goals that season.
Snipes!
12 goals in 47 games.
Snipes.
While still putting up 138 points. Or 138 penalty minutes. Penalty minutes, sorry.
I would believe penalty minutes.
One guy who you won't see play anymore, longtime AHL scoring machine, Keith O'Coin, has decided he's going to hang up the skates at the age of 39.
There you go.
He had a 17-team career that took him across four countries through seven different leagues. He played in Canada, the U.S., the Swiss League, and the DEL. Most recently was with Red Bull, EHC Red Bull München. Munchen, where he was the MVP last year, scoring 11 goals and 52 assists, and helped them win the German Elite League Championship.
As a defenseman?
No, he's a forward. Keith O'Coin is a forward.
I thought Keith O'Coin was a defenseman.
No, you're thinking Adrian O'Coin.
Adrian O'Coin.
Keith O'Coin, if you include the playoffs, Keith O'Coin scored 1,320 points in 1,360 AHL games.
That's Hall of Fame numbers.
He's seventh all-time in AHL scoring in the regular season with 857 points. And you might most remember him as a pain in the rear for the Manitoba Moose when he helped the Hershey Bears beat the Manitoba Moose for the Calder Cup in 2009.
If you put up numbers like that in your career, I know it's AHL, it's not the NHL, but can you get recognized?
My answer to that should be yes.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because Keith O'Coin was 5'8" or 5'9". He was never the biggest guy on the ice, but the dude played like he was 6'2".
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. If you're going to be a point per game player in the AHL,
just never got the chance in the NHL.
Well, again, the era that he was coming up in was that era of Lindros and the big guys, right? Yeah. If you're going to put up 1,320 points in 1,360 AHL games, if you're going to be a point per game player, that's pretty darn good. If you're going to be an MVP of the German Elite League and then help them win a championship.
At 38 years old.
At 38, that's pretty darn good. Yeah. If you're going to lead the league in scoring with 63 points last year, that's pretty darn good at 38. I think there should be some recognition. I know the Hockey Hall of Fame doesn't really recognize these guys who played the lower levels.
Yep.
But again, if you're going to see a guy, some of these goaltenders, who's the goaltender that set the record there for Mike McKenna, who, I'll look it up in a second. I know who it is. Just escapes me. The guy who, the five overtimes, and then he set all the records, he was setting all the records, and
can't remember.
Let's find out. I'll find out in a second.
In the AHL?
In the AHL, yeah. Anyway, but if you're gonna have some of these guys who should be recognized for the work that they're doing, Michael Layton, that's the guy. If you're gonna have some of these guys who set all sorts of records in the AHL and not be recognized, what's the point of having the AHL then?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I know it's a development league.
It's a professional league, though.
I know it's a development league, but that's the thing, though, is that these guys are setting the new standards for the American League. They still deserve to be recognized in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
And a lot of these guys are teaching these young guys in the to come up to the NHL and play in the NHL. They're giving them that leap, and a lot of these guys, like you said, he never gets a chance in the NHL because of his size,
right,
and the era he grew up in. So how is that his fault? I mean, he put up the numbers where he probably should have been on an NHL club, but just never got the chance.
Well, and that's the thing, is that he never got a shot because, again, you stand 5'9" in an era when 6'3" was the standard.
Yeah.
So Keith O'Coin calling it a career.
We're calling it a Hall of Fame career.
And one more AHL note before we move on. I got this.
You're going to prom?
No.
No, sorry, it's promo.
It's the Moose 2018-2019 promo schedule, if you missed it, folks.
Ooh, there's fun things happening.
What do you want to know about, Beans? Do you want some free stuff?
I would love free stuff.
All right, let's get you some free stuff then, because the giveaways are the fun stuff.
The Moose games last year were terrible. So,
well, they weren't bad.
At the end of the season,
they were bad when all the call-ups were gone.
That's where I went to two games at the end of the season. They were bad.
For the first 6,000 people on Friday, October 12th, this is a key, because the Belleville Senators now.
How many people?
For 6,000.
I thought you said six.
I'm no, like, 6,000.
For six people.
The Belleville Senators come to town on Friday, October 12th for the home opener. And the Moose will give you, if you're one of the first 6,000 people, will give you LED thunder sticks and the fridge magnet, the season fridge magnet with all the games on it.
Yeah. I think the Jets also, their home openers got the LED thunder sticks.
I think so. But I mean, that's just
it's not a promo.
No, it's just a note. Shh. Quiet.
It's quiet. The extras. It's
the next giveaway night that you want to go to will be Saturday, November 24th against the Iowa Wild. It's an afternoon game at 2 p.m.
Nice.
First 3,000 people through the doors will get the team poster of the Manitoba Moose as they get ready for that.
Kids love hanging posters on their walls.
Exactly 1 month later, December 22nd, Saturday, December 22nd at 2 p.m. It's their holiday game as the Grand Rapids Griffins visit. First 3,000 people will get the Manitoba Moose snow globe.
Ooh.
That's a pretty nice little gift,
that
I think.
That is.
That's all right.
Mickey Moose in the middle?
Something going on there.
Probably.
If you're looking for bobbleheads, Your first opportunity will be Saturday, January 19th at 2 p.m.
Do they say who the bobblehead
is? Not yet. No. They haven't come down with who it's going to be yet. But mini bobblehead number one will be handed out to the first 3,000 people on that day.
Who do you think the bobblehead would be?
Tough to say who's going to be on the moose this year, but I'm going to say it's either going to be maybe Eric Comrie, Sammy Niku, or Cordelis.
Really? Cordelis. I was going to say J.C. LaPon because he just signed.
Could be J.C. LaPon. Yeah, you never know.
He just signed a one-year contract here.
There's also an opportunity for giveaway number two, mini bobblehead giveaway two. We'll talk about that in a second, though. Your next giveaway will be February 18th, 2 p.m., especially important if you're a traveler, because that day against the Milwaukee Admirals, the first 3,000 people will get a luggage tag from the Moose.
Those are important.
Those could be important. If you're a hockey card collector, mark your calendar for this one. Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m., San Diego Gulls will be in town, and the Moose will give away to the first 3,000 people Upper Deck hockey cards.
Of the Moose?
It doesn't say. I'm assuming
just,
probably of the Moose.
Just random packages of Upper Deck.
I'm assuming it'll be the Moose, but... And then if you're looking for one more bobblehead, Saturday, April 6th at 2 p.m. will be Country Music Day. That will get you mini bobblehead number two. I will not be in attendance on that day. All right, let's go through some of the other stuff that they've got on here. So those are the giveaways. If you have to go back and listen to the replay and afterwards. But there's some new stuff. There's some returning. So home opener will be on Friday, October 12th. Sunday, October 21st will be Pride Day in support of the Rainbow Resource Center. So happy to see the Moose taking care of that. They'll have the San Antonio Rampage in town. On Saturday, November 3rd at 6 p.m., video game night. It's a brand new night they're doing. Video game night. In support, and they'll have a share the warmth night as Chicago comes to town in support of Asylum Mission.
What is video game?
They haven't released any details on what video game night is. I'm assuming though that there's probably going to be some video games on the scoreboard.
I was thinking they're not actually going to play a game. They're just going to two guys playing video games.
Two guys playing video games all night. But share the warmth. Bring your jackets for Asylum Mission and all your warm clothing for Asylum Mission. That's an important one. Saturday, November 10th at 6 p.m. The Griffins are in town yet again. Oh, I guess that's the first time they're in town anyway. Okay. That'll be Retro Jersey Night in support of Hockey Manitoba. Hockey Fights Cancer will happen on Saturday, November 24th. That's in support of Camp Quality. The Iowa Wild, as we said, is going to be team poster night as well. Saturday, December 15th is everybody's favorite night, as that's the Teddy Bear Toss, as the Toronto Marlies are in town. Christmas Cheer Board will be getting all the support for that. Holiday game we talked about already. New Year's Eve game will happen again this year. We'll get your best dress on for that. On December 31st, 4 p.m., the newly founded Colorado Eagles will be in town.
Oh, nice. The ECHL.
The former ECHL, now the AHL, the farm team of the Colorado Avalanche. It's also Shutout Hunger Day that day, so bring something bring a canned good, in support of food banks across Manitoba. That's going to be a big day.
Nice.
Saturday, January 12th, Military Appreciation Night, as the Laval... Whatever they're called, they're in town.
Laval Rocket?
Yeah, something like that.
Rocket?
I was trying to read the logo there, but the logo's too small to read.
I think they're the Rocket.
They have the Rocket written down the side there, yeah. But that's what I was like, what does that say? But it's all squished. Anyway, Grassroots Hockey Day happens on January 19th. It's all about the San Antonio Rampage back in town. That's Mini Bobblehead Day number one. Grassroots Hockey Day, all about the grassroots hockey in Manitoba. Sunday, January 20th, Star Wars Day. Ooh. In support of the Children's Wish Foundation.
That's always a fun game to go to.
That's always fun. You see people dressed up as Star Wars characters. February 9th, with the Texas Stars in town, Multicultural Night will be in effect. So if you're celebrating multiculturalism, that'll be a big night for you. Sunday, February 10th, always a fun day with Texas in town because that's Polar Bear Jersey Day.
Everything's always funner in Texas.
Polar Bear Jersey Day in support of the Assiniboine Park Zoo's Polar Bear Rescue Team again, and they always have those great polar bear jerseys. Sunday, February 17th, This is Hockey Follow Your Dreams Day. Milwaukee Admirals in town for Follow Your Dreams Day. Superhero Day on February 18th, the luggage tag. You come dressed as your favorite superhero with the Admirals in town. March 9th will be the Autism Awareness Game with the Rockford Ice Hogs in town. Specialty jersey will be worn in support of St. Amant Center. As we know, they have that puzzle piece jersey they wear. For the first time since the Moose have been back, Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m. with the San Diego Gulls in town. That's Upper Deck Night, Upper Deck Day. It's also the St. Patrick's Day game.
Ooh. So it'll be like like leprechauns on the cards.
I'm sure there'll be green jerseys or something, I swear, yeah.
Something.
Saturday, April 6th, as I said, Country Music Day. That's Mini Bobblehead Day number 2. And then Sunday, April 7th, against the Stockton Heat. Both those games, April 6th, April 7th, against Stockton Heat, will be Fan Appreciation Day. So if you want to get out and see stuff, that's what's going on there.
Stuff.
Moose promos, everybody. Promos.
It's always exciting. It's a cheap way to have fun.
All right, let's rip through the NHL news because we have, well, there's not a lot of news here. Henrik Zetterberg will miss the preseason training camp. His back's still a problem, and he may miss the full season based upon the fact that he hasn't even started working out yet. So if you're betting on Detroit this season, probably want to get your money back. The Jets have teased their fans with an alternate jersey unveiling on September 14th.
The Jets?
The Jets will wear an alternate jersey.
Well, there's only one jersey they can wear.
Technically, no. They could design a whole new one.
Really?
But the Jets will have an alternate jersey, and they will show it off on September 14th. The following day, the Jets will be out at FanFest out at the MTS Iceplex on September 15th, and they will have probably more looks at that jersey at that point.
Nice.
Blues decided to go heritage with their alternate jersey as they went back to the 1967-68 season with theirs.
No red. I was wrong.
You know what? I actually don't mind it. It looks pretty good. It looks like their Heritage Classic from 2017, yeah. But there's a few different elements to it. I'm not
a huge fan of the powdery blue color, but it's not bad.
If you're not a huge fan of that one, you ready for this, folks?
Which one we...
The Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Anaheim Ducks. We already talked about it before.
We have.
But the Ducks decided to go and do everything this season. Because they're going to do a 25th anniversary jersey tribute night throughout the season where they'll wear every jersey they've ever worn.
See, that's good and bad.
So, if you want to know what's going on, here's what's going to happen. So, each jersey tribute night will include the current Ducks team warming up in a sweater being recognized for that era. There'll be special tribute night entertainment with in-game features and retrospectives. Who cares?
Yep.
Ducks alumni from each era will make appearances, so you get to meet some of the old players. Concourse display of that specific uniform with historical context detailing concepts and uniform styles, how everything came together. There'll be some Ducks limited edition collectible displays from that area, and there'll be fan photo ops and interactive opportunities. Here is your setup. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So Monday, October 8th at 7 p.m. with the Detroit Red Wings in town, they're going to play their home opener, and they will wear their 1993 tribute jersey. The original jersey, same one that you were talking about.
Like from the Mighty Ducks?
From the Mighty Ducks, from the first Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
So they'll wear their home jersey on that one. October 28th with San Jose, they'll have the road jersey from 1993. Thursday, November 1st, the Rangers in town. Get ready for this one, folks. The Wild Wing jersey will be worn.
It's a great jersey.
Friday, November 9th, Minnesota in town will have the plum and teal, the Nike jerseys that they wore, one of their four jerseys they wore that season in 97 to 99.
I used to own one of those jerseys. It's a sweet jersey.
The 2003-2006 purple, black, and black jersey tribute. That's the one that Fedorov wore when he got traded there, the black one with the name across it.
Yeah.
I believe that's the one they're talking about anyway. That one will be worn against Toronto on Friday, November 16th. Wednesday, November 21st, 5 days later, Vancouver's in town. They'll wear the 2014 Wordmark jersey tribute. That's the first champagne one that had the word Ducks across their chest.
Yep.
Friday, December 7th, they're going to wear the Stadium Series. That's the orange one with the OC on the side, on the shoulder, that had the big D, the capital of the Ducks foot in the front. Saturday, December 29th against Arizona, they'll wear the third jersey tribute. That's the one that had the Ducks foot with the black and the orange on the sides.
Okay.
And then finally on January 4th against Vegas, they're going to wear the third jersey they had last year, the orange Mighty Ducks jersey.
Hmm.
So there are the Anaheim Ducks schedule.
It's a good idea.
More information, look at the Anaheim Ducks website. They got all the information
there. They just haven't had a lot of great jerseys in there.
25 years.
They've had some good ones, but they've had some bad ones.
They've had some bad ones as well, I agree. That orange is still just painful to look at.
It's like a pylon.
It's awful to look at. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like, we made fun of the Islanders when they wore it as well, and they wore orange, but orange is just not a good hockey color.
No.
I'm sorry. Sorry to say it. Nope. But hey, what can you do? If you want more information about that Hockey Ball in Canada, we'll also have that on the jersey schedule, as one of the resources after today's show. We'll post that up there as well if you want to check that out. But we're pretty much done here. We got about a minute left in the show, a few minutes left in the show.
I'm not even a huge fan of the Ducks' new third jersey.
I like the black logo with the Mighty Ducks logo is timeless.
Yeah, but I just don't like the color combination they work with.
We can get Skippy Kid just came in on the discussion of the Ducks here. Let's get him on. Let's get him on, Mike, and find out what he's doing.
He's going to talk about Ducks.
He's a big Ducks fan, I understand. There we are, Skippy. How's it going?
Some mallards and
all I have to say to that is quack.
There you go,
quack.
Flying V,
quack.
Flying V, exactly. Break it out.
Do you remember when the Jets did the Flying V? There was a meme going around the first couple of years. They broke out, like, I think 5-on-1.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. I mean, I think the Flying V should be put into more playbooks.
Hey, it worked, like, every time.
I'm not saying anything about that, but... looking at the other ones, I think that I like the fact that there's a bunch of teams going back to the Heritage, though. I think one of the mandates is if you're going to do an alternate jersey, you have to do a Heritage jersey at some point to honor the past, to bring sort of the two eras together. I think the Jets should go do the blue, like the same Heritage jersey they wore at the Heritage Classic, but they should do it in blue and wear it at home.
Yeah, I like that.
Or do the first year WHA. Everybody's been clamoring
for
that.
They will not do WHA because the NHL doesn't recognize that as an actual league. There's been never... Carolina cannot... will not do the Hartford Whalers because the NHL will not allow them.
Yeah, but the Hartford Whalers were part of the NHL.
Right. But the problem, though, is if they do anything back before that in terms of going back to like the original logos, that's what you can't do. So when Edmonton went orange... they couldn't do the Alberta whole, the logo, change the logo and all that kind of stuff. Because, again, they don't recognize that the WHA ever existed.
But those colors can work.
The colors can work. You can do
those,
the colors.
Those first-year colors.
Speaking of...
put a Carolina Hurricanes before logo we go, on those colors.
Before we go, speaking of the Carolina Hurricanes, this just came to my attention about 5 minutes before we went on the air. And I want to thank John, good friend John from D.C., who we talked to. According to Chris Creamer, who runs the Uniform Sports Logos website.
I saw something about them being able to pick, the fans being able to pick their logo.
Tom Dundon is looking for a new logo and wants the fans to suggest ideas for the new logo for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, just saw that before I came in here. It was on Twitter. I follow Creamer on Twitter. Very good, very good site.
To be honest... what is Tom Dundon doing in Carolina? The guy has blown up the team. The team is terrible. Now they're going to change the logo. Like, this guy is an absolute catastrophe of an owner.
He is a hurricane.
Well, he came in like a hurricane, that's for sure.
Catastrophe owners, they always do well. I love the look you just gave. You can't tell what sarcasm is?
Oh, no, I know what sarcasm is. I don't know if you can see it through the radio, though.
You couldn't see that look of evil death on me.
Listen, catastrophe owners need to stay out of sports. That's all I know. I don't mind if you want to come in and make some tweaks, do some changes. There's been some logos that have been tweaked or improved or anything like that. I liked when Hartford went from green to the blue. I didn't mind that. That was okay. It was a little bit different. I don't mind some of these teams like Vancouver going back to the green. Like, that's okay. But you can't come in and tell the fans in your first season, you know what? We're blowing everything up. Everything's changing. We're not going to have the same players. We're not going to have the same coach. We're not going to have the same management. We're not even going to have the same logo.
We're just going to be a whole new team in the same state.
We generally are just replacing the Hurricanes with a brand new team.
But that might be what he's trying to do to get actual people to show up in Carolina.
But so here's the thing. You can get people to show up in Carolina if you ice a winning team.
We could do that anywhere.
People like a winner. I hate to say it, but if you're going to miss the playoffs and you have the longest drought in the playoffs right now,
A last question. Since when is the 90s considered heritage? Or am I just that old?
I'm old.
Yeah.
What? Getting old.
I don't know.
90s is classic rock now.
I'm referring to Arizona.
See, but the thing about Arizona is you can't really harken back to another jersey. They don't have another jersey.
Or they can make a fake heritage, like something inspired by the styles of like the 50s or the 70s.
See, the only thing they could really do, though, would be the Phoenix Roadrunners, because that's the only other team that's been there.
I'm okay with that. It's better than seeing the Aztec.
Really?
Coyote.
You don't like that?
Look at you. I hate the Aztec.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm bringing that in next week. You know, I'm bringing my jersey in next
week. You know what
else
it reminds me of? The fact that the Jets left in
95. Well, yeah, that's...
Because what replaced that? That Aztec Coyote, and that's always what I
hockey
associate.
Hockey night at the ballpark on Tuesday night, there was a guy wearing an alternate Coyotes jersey from the 90s. The green one with the big Coyote head on it. So... And it looked good. It was a Habby Boulin jersey as well. And I was like, that guy knows what he's doing. That guy right there is phenomenal. If you're listening to the show and that was you and that walking around the concourse, call in because that's an awesome jersey.
Talk to Skippy on.
Yeah, talk to Skippy on Free Range Radio. Yeah, he'll appreciate your choice in jerseys. The expression you got on your face right now is classic. We need to have a video camera. Where's the video camera in here?
What happened to that?
It's still on the table, I think, but we just don't. Talk about it enough, so.
Regulations. Always about regulations.
Speaking about regulations, we're going over our regulation time. We've got to let Skippy get out into the big chair here as we get out of here. Anything you want to say before we go here, Beans?
Everybody love everybody.
We're just here with our friends as the Darcys come back in here. Skippy will be in here right away, folks. Stay tuned for that here on 101.5 UMFM. It's nice to be back and to have a bunch of stuff going on. Next week, again, Megan Myers from the Wooster Blades coming on. We're going to have that on. 2 weeks, it'll be the Bison Rookies as we meet the kids. And then 3 weeks from now, it'll be Kelsey Newman as we welcome her into the show. Stay tuned for everything coming up in the next few weeks here on The Hockey Show. It's going to be crazy, crazy busy once more. But we thank you for tuning in tonight here on The Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM. It feels right.